Bible Baptist Church, located at 2015 Beulah Road in Madisonville, Kentucky, would like to invite you to listen to a message of the sovereign grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ by their pastor, David Edmondson.
I have a very urgent message for all who hear my voice this day. My text will be found in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. I want us to consider verse 24 together. And these words are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Son Himself is speaking to us. And He says in verse 24, "Take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given." Now, in this day in which we live, there's a church on nearly every street corner, in every town, in every state across this nation. 2, 3, maybe 4 times a week, men and women gather together to hear preachers preach what we call a sermon. And these men, like myself, preach from the same Bible. Though they may use different translations, it's still the same Bible. All these men, like myself, speak of God. They all profess to believe in Jesus Christ. They all claim to be taught, led, and directed by the same Holy Spirit. Yet, they do not all agree and believe the same things. We live in a time where preachers give and have many instructions on what it is to preach the gospel. But in the text before us, the Lord Jesus Himself gives special instructions, special directions as how to hear what is preached. Take heed what ye hear. And what a solemn and urgent warning that calls for great discernment, judgment, and perception on the hearer's part. Take heed as to hearing. Take heed to what you hear. What you hear is a matter of urgency to your soul. It is a matter of life and death. Now, first, let me endeavor to apply our Lord's warning here in this text to those in religion who are not hearing the true gospel. It seems today that most folks assume that just because a building has a cross or a steeple on it, that inside you'll find a place of true worship. That couldn't be further from the truth. There are many counterfeit gospels being preached in our day. And when you get right down to it, sometimes the only differences between true preaching, true gospel churches, and false ones is the message that's being preached. And what I mean by that is this. In both the true and the false, you may hear the same hymns sung. You may read the same Bible verses and even hear similar prayers. But there's life and death difference between hearing a man's sermon and hearing a word from God can be two different things. Even our dictionary's definition of what a sermon is should put us on guard. The definition of a sermon is a talk, address, speech, or lecture on a religious and moral subject. A sermon is a talk, an address, or lecture based upon a passage from the Bible. But not all sermons preached are the gospel. And it is not all hearing that will be valuable to your soul. Our Lord said, "Take heed what you hear." Now, I dare say that none of us would be quick to buy meat from the grocery store that was expired or out of date. Much worse would we want to eat it, knowing that it was expired or out of date. My wife has taught me to check the dates on the things at the grocery before I buy them, the expiration date. Seemingly, we have high standards today for checking the quality of certain food products. Yet very often, we hear about someone consuming some bad meat, whether beef or chicken, that makes them deathly ill or even causes some death. On another thought, many of us take medicine that our doctors prescribe. But I don't go into the pharmacy and ask the pharmacist to give me whatever he has a notion to give me. I don't go into the pharmacist and say, what have you got on special today? Or what have you got a surplus of? Give me that. Care and attention is given in what kind of medicine we are prescribed, and specific instructions and directions are given to us as to how we take it. It's written right on the bottle, right on the medicine bottle. And even then, when we consider the side effects, we often have second thoughts about taking the medication because the symptoms of the medication are often worse than the problem that they're supposed to remedy. And I hate it when I see these law commercials, an attorney that says if you or a loved one have taken this medication and more or less died from taking it, call us immediately. And then to see that medicine is one that I'm taking, that's a fearful thing. The point I'm trying to make is this. Whether it is expired food or prescription medicine we are unsure of, men and women take great heed and are concerned as to what they consume, and no doubt they should be. But how much more does that apply to eternal matters? What about the spiritual food that we consume? The Lord Jesus said, take heed what you hear. Why is it that folks who desire to live a healthy lifestyle will take heed to what they eat and what they drink, but seem to have no concern about their spiritual well-being, what they consume? Why are professing believers so careless about what they hear and consume concerning the eternal issues of the heart? Men and women, young and old, need to take heed to what they hear. And you can be assured that what you digest in order to feed your soul has great consequence to your spiritual welfare. And should we not be more concerned with our soul than our bodies? I'm telling you this. Listening to every religious babbler and running the risk of the contamination of your souls is a dangerous thing. Giving heed to the misinformed speculations of men who do not know the God of the Bible. Don't know Him. It's not a light matter. Men and women need to take heed to what they hear. And I don't know if I can truly express just how disheartening it is for me when I hear the reasons that folks, both young and old, give for attending some of the so-called churches and religious organizations in our town. I think I've heard them all. Hear folks say, well, we attend there because that's where our family and friends go. That's where Grandma always went. That's where Papa always went. The question is, what are you hearing there? Hear others say, we go there because of all the activities that they have for the children. But what are they teaching your children? We attend there because of all the things that they provide for seniors or the young married couples, the recently widowed, and the recently divorced. But what are they feeding your soul? Well, I go there because of the music and the excitement generated from their contemporary worship services. But what about the preaching? What about the preaching? I have a loved one who is a cousin who's much like a little sister to me, who told me recently that she was going to a church because it was like being at a rock concert. She said the lights are low, the music is loud, everybody's waving their hands in the air to the beat of the music, but she didn't say anything about the preaching. Why? Because there is no true preaching, just little sermonettes, little talks, little lectures about how to live a successful and victorious life of prosperity. If that's what you like, then go to a rock concert and hear your favorite musical group. That won't send you to hell, but to claim to worship God in a feel-good rock concert atmosphere where there's no true preaching certainly will. Men and women need to take heed. Take heed. I've heard others say, oh, no, I don't go for that kind of hoopla. I attend a church that's very traditional. We sing the old hymns and we do everything very respectfully. You very well may. But what is your preacher saying? Is he telling you the truth about God? Or is he telling you that God loves everybody and that God wants to save everybody? Is he telling you that you have to exercise your free will and decide to follow Jesus? Is he telling you that Jesus died for everybody, but only those who let Jesus have his way, only those who give their hearts to Jesus will be saved? Is he telling you that Christ shed his blood for the whole world, but there's still those who will be lost for whom he shed his blood? Just because they didn't let Jesus have his way? What nonsense. Take heed what you hear. Those are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, the Greek words for taking heed means to see to it. To see to. Christ is warning us to see to what we hear. And what an urgent warning this is. In this day of religious apostasy, those who are concerned about what they hear are in the minority. But didn't our Lord say, even so then at this present time, also there is a remnant, according to the election of grace, a remnant, just a small part of the whole will truly be interested and truly be saved. And it's getting far too common to find that the vast majority of the population in our country has no interest in hearing the true gospel preached, no interest in truly knowing how God saves wretched sinners. But you put on a passion play, a music concert, or have a seminar on how to financially prosper in this world and you'll pack the house. But you preach the unsearchable riches of Christ and how he died in the place of wretched sinners. A handful will show up to hear. The time has come where entertainment takes precedence over the study of God's word. But I'll take a handful of true believers any day over a multitude who desire to only feel good about themselves and proudly claim that they and Jesus have a good thing going. To those who claim such a preposterous statement, I'm telling you that you better take heed to what you hear. You and the Christ of the Bible have nothing going for you to make a statement like that. Now let me say to those of you who love the gospel that these words of warning from our Lord also apply to you in a different way. Those who love Christ, those who love to hear the glorious gospel of how Christ came into the world to save sinners, are to take heed to the truth that they hear. Remember what to take heed means. It means to see to it. We are to see to what we hear. We're to pay close attention to what we hear. And these words are a command from our Savior. If he commands us to do something, we ought to desire to know what it is. Shouldn't we? Of course we should. We're to take heed to the truth that we do hear. We're to pay close attention to what we hear. We're so prone to wonder, so prone to slumber. We must take heed. We must take heed to hear God's word so that we ourselves might be constantly reminded to be fixed and resolved to trust in Christ alone. We must take heed to hear God's word so that we might stay spiritually alert and never slumber, knowing that He only has the words to eternal life. You remember when those followers of Christ left and He looked at His disciples and He said, "Will you leave me also?" You remember what Peter said? He said, "Lord, where else would we go? Thou hast the words to eternal life." We must take heed to what we hear that we might clearly and simply preach and shine forth the glorious gospel of Christ to others. And it's in that context that the Lord here instructs us to take heed to what we hear. Let me show you that. Look up at verse 21. "And He said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick?" Now, if candles are to be lit and illuminated and brought into a room in the nighttime where folks are together to converse, read, or work, is it proper or useful that the candle be covered with a basket, or when brought into a bedchamber that it be put under the bed? Should not the candle be set on a candlestick so that it be useful to all who are in the room? Well, of course it should. Now, we live in a day of electricity. We flip on a light and the lights come on. But in our Lord's time, oftentimes a room was illuminated by candles. And so it is with the gospel, friends, the candle of the Lord. God's word, the gospel of grace, shines forth upon who and what we are and who and what Christ is to us. Being illuminated by the Father of lights, we are to shine forth the light of God's glorious gospel so that others might see. And it's very appropriate that the Lord uses candles here to describe us. For even the most enlightened believers are but candles, as poor lights, dim lights, compared with the Son of Righteousness. A candle gives light, but in a very little way, and but for just a little time. A candle, easily blown out, and it's continually burning down and wasting away. But God's elect people don't put themselves under a bushel or under a bed. They are to be set on a candlestick to bring forth the glory of God and the salvation of sinners by the preaching of the truth, the preaching of the gospel. And that's the reason that our Lord gives us in verse 22. It's because nothing of God's mercy and grace to sinners is to be hid. It's or not be made manifest to this sinful and dying world. The gospel of God's free and sovereign grace in Christ is not to be kept secret, but to be shed abroad to all that will hear it. That's why we preach the gospel. We need to constantly hear the glorious truth and be continually awakened because we're so prone to slumber. We need to take heed to God's word with great attention. Mr. Spurgeon once told the story about a young boy who sat on the front pew with his mother, and she looked at her son sitting next to her, and he had his hand coupled around his ear as though he was attempting to block out everything but the words of the preacher. And after the services, when asked by his mother why he did this, he said, "Mom, I heard the preacher say that God speaks through the preaching of His word, the preaching of the gospel, and I sure don't want to miss anything that God has to say." Oh, for that kind of hearing. That's the kind of hearing I'm talking about. Picture this. A wealthy man dies and his family's gathered together in the conference room of the attorney handling the state, and the lawyer reads all the legal mumbo jumbo of the last will and testament of the man. little attention is given to him by the family. But the moment that that lawyer says, okay, now for the dividing of the assets, the ears of everyone in the family perk up, and you could hear a pin drop because of their attentiveness. That's the kind of hearing I'm talking about. Are you interested in hearing from God? Are you interested in the reading of the last will and testament? Are you interested in the inheritance that you are a joint heir with Christ in? The Lord Jesus says in verse 23, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Now, I don't know much, but I know this much. If I have ears to hear, it is God that gave them to me. If I have ears to hear, it's God that lets me hear. And in verse 24, again, he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. Now, let me quickly move on to the next part of this verse. The text says, with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. Now, that word meet here, M-E-T-E, means to dispense, hand out, allot, or allocate. So what does this mean in reference to the subject of hearing? This is very important. It means just this. The hearer of the gospel will get measure for measure. The measure shall be his own measure. What a man sows, he shall also reap. Let me give you an example. Those who have no interest in the word of God will find it uninteresting. If you listen to the gospel without any interest in the gospel, you will not care at all what the gospel is or what it isn't. If you read the Bible with no concern for your soul, you'll find nothing in the Bible that concerns your soul. If you attend the preaching of the gospel or the reading of God's word and have no longing to be saved, no wish to escape from the guilt of sin, no desire for heaven, and no care or love for God, the dullest, most boring thing in the world to you will be a service where Jesus Christ is preached. You shall get it back to you with your own measure. Let me take that a step further. If you hear the gospel with a desire to find fault, you will find fault. Not long ago, we had a man and his family visit our church, and it was quite obvious to me in talking to the man that he had no real interest in the gospel, that he was only there to find fault in the message that we preached. And he did. He told someone later that he'd never be back. You see, some attend the preaching of the gospel with intentions of only finding fault. And I've come to the place in my life where I have no problem obliging people who wish to find fault. I'm not ever going to water down the gospel to make it more tolerable and palatable to sinners. I'm not going to tickle men and women's ears to avoid them finding fault with the gospel. If men and women are looking to find fault, they'll always find it. They'll find it in me. They'll find it in my speech, my delivery, my content, and they'll find it in how we conduct and do things in the service of preaching the gospel. But if I preach the gospel, really, they're finding fault with God. You see, the offense of the cross has not ceased. It's still a stumbling block to those who believe not. And those who believe not shall stumble and fall and be broken to pieces by the gospel. For with their own measure shall it be measured back to them. Unless God intervenes, what people fish for, they will catch. But that principle works both ways. Now listen to me. Whosoever comes to hear the gospel with attention, whoever comes to hear the gospel and desires to know all about how Christ came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost, those who come who want to hear about sin and its and the remedy of sin shall be taught of God. If a sinner comes wanting to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ and his atoning sacrifice, he or she will find an atoning sacrifice for their sin. A sinner who wants to know something about grace alone through faith alone in Christ alone and attentively hears, they'll find grace and faith in Christ who saves. A sinner who desires to know and to be taught will find much that is worth knowing, much that will attract them to even closer attention to the things of Christ. I'm telling you, this is so. It is so. Some of you know this from experience. Every hearer shall receive according to what he or she brings. Nobody, no one gets saved by a careless hearing. No man gets saved by a forgetful hearing. No man gets saved by an occasional hearing of the gospel. Why? For with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. Now let me finish with a promise from our Redeemer. If you look at the last part of verse 24, it says, "Unto you that hear shall more be given." More what? First, more desire to hear. It's the sinner who has heard the gospel who loves to hear it. And I do believe that the best preaching of the gospel is when the preacher himself enjoys it and believes it wholeheartedly. I love to hear the gospel from a man who loves the gospel that he preaches. And those who hear the gospel again and again and again get more and more sure that it's true. Oh, at first they hope it's true. Then they think it's true, and soon they believe it's true. And farther on, they know that it's true, and they become so delighted in what they hear that they would die in the defense of it. Christ says unto you that here shall more be given. You shall become more and more sure of the truth that you hear. Isn't that what Paul wrote in Romans 10:17? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now let me ask you in closing, if a man died for you, gave his life for you, died in your place when you deserved to die and he didn't, if that gracious, loving, compassionate man left you a word in a letter as to why he did so, would you not desire to hear the word that he left for you? Would you not desire to read that letter? Of course you would. How much more should saved sinners desire to hear the word of the glorious Savior who died the just for the unjust to bring them unto God? Take heed what you hear.
You have been listening to a message by David Edmondson, the pastor of Bible Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of God's free, sovereign grace in Christ, you can write to our mailing address at P.O. Box 652, Madisonville, Kentucky 42431, or log on to our website at freegraceradio.com. If you would like to come and worship with us, we meet at 2015 Beulah Road, Madisonville, Kentucky. And our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m. Worship services begin at 11 o'clock a.m. Wednesday evening services at 7 o'clock p.m. Please tune in again next Sunday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. for another message of God's free and sovereign grace in the Lord Jesus Christ.